Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Prosper.com, America's marketplace for people-to-people loans. Prosper.com, where you can compete to bid on loans to fellow Americans.
More subprime shockwaves.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. The cracks keep getting deeper in the banking sector. This morning, the Swiss bank UBS announced $10 billion in write-downs. That's one of the biggest losses for a major bank so far. UBS also canceled plans for a cash dividend to shareholders. But it's getting some emergency funding from the Singapore government and an unnamed Middle East investor. So UBS shares have actually gained value overseas. The European markets have added about 0.5% so far. In Japan today, the Nikkei fell a fraction. The Dow starts the week at 13,625. Last week, the Dow, the Nasdaq, and the S&P 500 all gained close to 2%. The Nasdaq is at 2706. The S&P is at 1504. Chinese officials are in Washington this week for talks with Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson. The agenda is fairly obvious: product safety, China's currency, trade. Bill Marcus has more on the Chinese perspective.
To grease the trade talk wheels, China Sunday tripled the ceiling on foreign institutional investment to $30 billion. Peking University finance professor Michael Pettis says the last thing China's overinflated monetary market needs is more investment. But American financial expertise, that they can use.
China is very eager to see its financial markets become more sophisticated, more developed, and better capable of allocating capital efficiently, for which, as of now, it's doing a fairly poor job.
China also last week signed mainland investment banking agreements with Credit Suisse and Morgan Stanley. Citigroup, Merrill Lynch, and J.P. Morgan are waiting in the wings. But most insiders fear foreign banks will be able to underwrite IPOs, not trade domestic stocks in a market that this year is up 90%. In Shanghai, I'm Bill Marcus for Marketplace.
Also in Washington today, the AFL-CIO hosts a conference on the freedom to form unions. This is a pretty critical time for labor groups. The percentage of Americans under union contracts is at its lowest point in decades. More from Jeremy Hobson.
In the 1950s, about 35% of American workers were unionized. Today, 12%.
It's shocking.
That's Stuart Acuff, the AFL-CIO's national organizing director. He says among developed nations, the U.S. is not providing nearly the protections for unions that other countries do.
Our policies have not kept up with the change in the global economy.
John Beck heads the labor education program at Michigan State University. He says in order for unions to regain traction, legal protections have to catch up with the times. For instance, benefits should be transferable from one company to another.
Those kinds of legal realities are going to have to shift as work becomes far more mobile, as people try to come to grips with not only what the demands of the workplace are, but what the demands of a new workforce are.
Tomorrow, Congress will hear from union leaders directly on strengthening workers' rights. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. And by Grant Thornton, dedicated to serving their clients worldwide with a passion for the business of accounting. On the web at GrantThornton.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation. Online at KAUFFMAN.org.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
The R word has come up an awful lot lately, recession or not. Seems everyone has an opinion, but Alan Sloan with Fortune Magazine says investors really shouldn't care whether the economy goes into recession. Alan, why not?
Because if we're in a recession now, we won't know about it for at least 6 months, at which point what good does it do to know? And to me, it doesn't matter. If you're investing, you're investing now. You're not investing based on what someone may figure out sometime next year happened in October or November of 2007.
But aren't we hearing people on Wall Street talking about recession?
Absolutely. And my favorites are the ones who are saying, well, there's a 50% chance we'll be in a recession. There's a 40% chance. It's like the people who say, there's a 30% chance of rain. There's a 14% chance of snow. And whatever happens, they're covered.
But when you look at the symptoms of a recession, aren't those the important part that investors do need to keep an eye on?
Well, absolutely. And that's why I say a recession is, to give you the very short version, it means a slowing down for more than just a minute of the economy in a variety of ways. That's what a recession is. And sure, if the economy is now slowing down, that's something you obviously have to take into account when you're investing, as I'm taking it into account. But the question of whether we're in a recession or not is not relevant. You have to look at the economy, but the word recession is not helpful.
Okay, so if we toss out the R word, what should investors be thinking about?
Well, it's what I call the F word, though not the one usually heard on radio.
We can't do the F word.
No, this is a different word, Scott. It is not, it's not the conventional F word. It's foresight.
Okay.
Foresight is what you need.
And by that you mean?
Well, you have to look ahead to what you think is coming, as opposed to a recession, which by definition is something you find out after the fact that it's begun. And usually by the time you find it out, the recession is either over or almost over. And historically, that's been the case.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine, what's the final word?
It's the G word, which is goodbye. It was fun.
If you'd like to share your thoughts with us or with other listeners, there's a place to do that online at marketplace.org. This final note, this is the week the Wall Street Journal changes hands. It's been controlled by the Bancroft family for more than a century. But Dow Jones shareholders vote Thursday to turn it over to Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. Murdoch appointed a new management team last week, which includes his son, James. He's now in line to succeed the 76-year-old Murdoch. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.